Yeah, Tampa Bay, that the media there, eh? It's just a lot. Like, it's just a lot.
That Stephen Stamkos quote got a lot of coverage, by which, I mean, you may have not have heard it until I just mentioned it right now.
Yeah.
No, I heard it. I played in Tampa for a little bit. They aren't getting revved up this early in the season, for sure. So we tend to blow things out of proportion in Canada, and that's why we have a job. But certainly I think there's a lot more care this early in the season where we live as opposed to Tampa Bay. So, yes, this is just another day in Tampa Bay land.
Whatever happens in tonight's game, could it ever usurp O.J. Howard catching a fly ball, a foul ball at the Rays game? Like, that's still higher on the pecking order of media interest, right, than this game tonight.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay,
I don't watch much baseball, and
right, never mind.
Never care to, unless I have money, and I didn't have money on that game, so that means absolutely nothing, that reference to me.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
All
right. No. Do you even own a Matthew Barnaby Tampa Bay Lightning jersey?
I have one in the basement, but
It's not framed.
Yeah. I can promise you, it is not framed. Yeah. And anytime like someone comes over, and sometimes I have some that aren't framed, they'll put them on, and I'm like, you wore that more on the ice. If you even have a glass of ice and have a drink, you wore it more on the ice than I did when I was with Tampa Bay.
I hate to admit, I think if I was like, if I ever got to own one of your jerseys, though, I think I would say, yeah, give me the Tampa Bay Lightning one. Like, absolutely. Like, that's definitely the one to own. I'm trying to look here quickly. How many Wow, I would have taken the hard under on 58 games for the Lightning, though. I got to tell you, I would have got that way wrong.
58 games, 58 shifts. That's the part that's the struggle. It's not. Yeah, I asked for. It's funny because I signed a 3-year deal with them, and like game 3 after signing that deal, John Tortorella comes up to me. He's like, you know, I just don't think you can play in this league anymore. And I was like, you Thanks. Just gave me a 3-year deal. shouldn't you have thought about this before you gave me this three-year deal? So, yeah, it wasn't a great marriage. I love John Tortorella, the person. I hated John Tortorella, the coach. But, yeah, it wasn't a long time in Tampa. I had just enough time to build a house and then put it on the market.
What I love about that is I can't imagine a boss coming up to me in this industry, like, unless you're just completely fired, but they, like, that's how they tell you. There's no, like, they try
building
to coach
up
you
your
up
confidence,
at least.
Yeah.
They wouldn't just be like, hey, man,
I don't think this is going to work out.
I don't think you can. I don't think you're good enough for Toronto radio anymore. Like, I think it's over for you. And you're like, oh, so should I just go back out there? It's like, I don't know. It's up to you. It's only a matter of time. So, yeah. However you want to spend.
But now let's take it a step further. Have them, hey, you're up for negotiations. No contract. And Sportsnet gives you a 3-year deal. And then a week later, they're like, hey, you're not that good, JD. I don't think you – don't think you can cut it here. You're like, oh, okay, so do I leave now? And where do you send my checks?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Is the money guaranteed? That's fine. Yeah. So tell me you don't want me on the radio anymore.
If you were in the NFL, you probably would have tried a little harder, but you were like, all right, cool, whatever. guaranteed contracts. Thank you, CBA. Woo! Yeah. Whoever negotiated it, we love you. Congratulations. So we were talking about like how you can't take huge things from this game and apply them to later in the season. But do you think guys are going to be up for this game in a different way, considering, you know, what the stakes are with the added pressure of this being a more important 2 points?
Yeah, I think you guys nailed it on the head, and I was listening to you guys a little early. You don't look back when you start the playoffs, or, you know, even if they play Tampa Bay in the playoffs, if that was to be the case, you know, you don't look back on this game this early in the season because you're still trying to figure out a lot. But I think when you look at it tomorrow, you learn a lot about your team, about where you are, even though it is early in the season. And these games mean more than playing the Ottawa Senators on a Tuesday night in Ottawa. And guys get up more for these games. As silly as that seems, you think you might get up for every single game the same way, but it isn't. You benchmark games, if we want to call them that, when you play against better teams and great teams, I think you look at your team the next day, win or lose, and figure out a few things. So it's a bigger game, but as we go through the season, this will be forgotten once it's played, win or loss.
What's the most noteworthy thing you've seen from this Maple Leafs team through 4 games this season?
I think it's the, honestly, it's the power play. I think it's more dynamic and it's always had the talent, but I like the look of it. I like the puck possession that they possess. I think in zone, they, you know, I haven't looked at the Corsi numbers. I think it's still so early, but, you know, the puck possession that they possess in that zone and in fatiguing other teams down, I think that will serve them very, very well. It's a pretty deep offensive group. I love what Tyson Barry has brought to this team. And it's funny, some people are, oh my God, this Tyson Barry is so good. Well, if you watched him in Colorado, yeah, he's a damn good hockey player. He's gonna warrant a lot of money in an extension. So he's a difference maker for this team. But to me, it's the puck possession that they possess, the talent that they have has been at a whole new level this year. And I think it's a really, really good hockey team. And I think they're adjusting well to a lot of changes that they've made.
Yeah, Paul McFarland, his system seems to be working well. Like, it's a good idea to have guys on their one-timer side. I think everybody that's just watched them, even though the results haven't been off the page incredible, like, it looks like the process is going to lead to some good results. What I am surprised about, when I knew he was coming in and he was going to change the power play and he was probably going to be a little more traditional, it's traditional in that sense, the guys are on the right side. But it's still, like, we're talking about minutes distribution. I can't recall, I don't think once this season that Power Play 1 has played more than 50% of the two-minute man advantage. Is the assistant coach who's in charge of the power play, like, does he have any input on the ice time that the power play units play? And are you surprised that they're still not doing that?
I think as the season goes on, they will play a little bit more. Does he have input? Absolutely. Everything starts and stops with Mike Babcock. We know that. I mean, he is a control freak in the way that he controls his teams, and then he is going to have the final say. But I would be surprised if Paul McFarland, who ran a very good power play in Florida last year, was one of the best in the league, doesn't have an input. But I would think that that would change. You look at some of the good power plays and some of the great power play guys out there throughout the National Hockey League. You can look at Tampa. You can look at Alexander Ovechkin. Those guys stay on a little bit longer, and I think that's if I'm a star player and star players that I played with, you should have that luxury of staying out a little bit longer. To me, an hour, a minute 15, a minute 20 for the number one power play unit, depending on how it's going throughout that power play, and 40 to 45 seconds for the other power play, to me makes the most sense. But I'm not coaching the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I haven't seen a time where, you know, they had an offensive zone draw where they pulled the guys off too quickly. It seemed pretty organic, and like, it is so early. And given McFarland's track record, it really does seem like eventually that is going to be the way. Like, when it's a more meaningful game, we're a little bit later in the season, you're probably going to see those guys for more than a minute, 5 minute, 10. The one thing though that I will say from the power play, I don't know if I'm the biggest fan of, is how do you feel about how often they're kind of setting Mitch Marner up for one timers given his shot?
It's like they're trying to will him into it. He's never going to have a bomb of a one-timer. I just don't see that. But I think you have to give it all. I think the best thing about any power play is just being unpredictable. So I think setting that up sometimes, you know, sets up the seam player coming back up top. So I don't mind it, only because it's so new and they're looking at so many different looks. He's never going to have a bomb. That's never going to be the number one threat on the power play. But if you can get people to start biting with it, and I don't know if we will until he starts blasting a couple through for goals. But I think unpredictability is the number one thing you can have in power play units. And the predictable power play units just aren't very good, and they're too easy to defend. The schemes from defensive coaches, penalty kill coaches, are just too good. So I like the fact that there's some unpredictability in what you wouldn't expect, and we'll just have to wait to see how it evolves throughout the season, how successful they are.
Yeah, I'm such a picky baby. Like, on the power play it was, man, Mitch Marner needs to shoot it a little bit more. Like, he needs to at least be a threat. And now I'm like, he's shooting too much. I don't want to see Mitch Marner shoot on a power play that has Austin Matthews, John Tavares on it. Like,
the wrist shot thing like he did for his first power play goal, where they did a little give and go, or like a little pass it back and forth to him and Tavares in the bumper spot.
I think that's it. Like, I think Barney nailed it. It's like, you want to be unpredictable, and that was the problem last year. And Mitch being more willing to shoot is fine. But yeah, it has felt a little forced to me at times as well. And like, yeah, if you're it's kind of like one of those things in all of pro sports. It's like, okay, if you're doing this when you have this much talent on the field, like you're kind of doing your opponent a favor, it feels like, right? Like any shot that isn't coming off of Austin Matthews' stick in those dangerous areas, or, you know, that's coming off John Tavares, like that feels like, yeah, you're doing a favor to your opponent. But anyways, it's overall, I think the power play, the results, everything has looked pretty good so far. The one guy who's kind of been taking heat has been Kapanen. And whether or not he should be playing with the Tavares Marner line and blah, 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 and what's a better fit and should he be driving? What do you see with that line right now? Like, why hasn't there been production?
You know what? They just haven't, you know, I think, controlled the puck a lot and really held on to it as much as other lines. There hasn't been a distinct advantage in the offensive zone. I think that's where they do their best work. Obviously, they're a transition line. They have the skill to be able to transition that. They will score. But if you're going to be viable, if you're really going to put up points, you have to be able to control pucks down low and fatigue defenders as five-man units. I think we've seen that with the Matthews line. That's why he is one of the best five-on-five players in the National Hockey League, why he's so valuable, not only his goal-scoring prowess, but on a 200-foot game, he does so much so well. And he fatigues defenders as five-man units so well. So I haven't seen that. Kapanen obviously hasn't been at the top of his game in various different spots. And look for it to improve. He's a very good hockey player, and we're so early into the season. I think when he'd be the first to admit he's not happy with his game. The line, probably five-on-five, is not happy with their game, but they're too talented. They're too good to not be good five-on-five. And I don't mind him in that spot. I think they're a very good line. Like I said, I think this is a very, very deep team. And I'm actually surprised on how well that the team has played so early in the season with all the new faces that they do have.
Yeah, like, is he even capable of sewering that line, Kapanen? Like, if he played like his worst hockey, like, could he? It's like, oh, well, that line's not, it's not one of the best in hockey anymore because Kasperi Kapanen. He's not like Zach Hyman digging out those loose pucks behind the net.
Zach Hyman is, I know JD hates him. He's hated him for years, but he can play and he does dig out pucks. Kapanen's a good player, and I'm not going to, again, he was very good last year. He got a contract extension that was well deserved, and I'm not going to throw everything that we saw last year from him because of a couple or a bad start in a few games with him. It happens. I'm a big believer in Kapanen and what he brings to the table. So he couldn't screw up. The other two guys are too good, even if he did play his worst hockey, like you alluded to, Ben. But he's a very good player that will add to that line and to this lineup.
Yeah, joke's on you, because I've been actually going harder on Kapanen than I ever had ever on Zach Hyman.
That's
like,
true.
That's because it's
easy the last few games. It's easy.
No, I've been this way on Kapanen forever. Like, I think he's fine. That's it. I think he's fine. I don't think he's that good. I think he's kind of one-dimensional, and
he's not an elite player. He's not an elite player, but he can skate well. I wouldn't say he's the smartest player out there, but he skates well and he's very serviceable. So totally. I think you can slide him up and down your lineup. But I think if we were going to be completely honest, if he's on your third line,
yeah, it's awesome.
You have a really, really good hockey team. If he's on your top line, you're probably not going to generate as much as you want.
Yeah, that's all.
Don't break up my beautiful third line.
This example has been made like many, many times before, but to me, he is. He's just like, he's a Carl Hagelin, like maybe a little bit better, maybe a little bit worse. Like he's right in that same mold. I just don't view it as like, oh, there's this other next thing that's going to unlock with this player. I think that, yeah, even for a younger guy, he is who he is to me. I like guys who, yeah, are more dynamic in other areas of the game than just, you know, one. For me, which is his skating. Anyway,
it is amazing though the perception once you earn a little bit more money.
Yeah.
How we judge you differently, isn't it? Because last year we didn't expect anything from him. He has a good year. Mm-hmm. Now we expect him to take that next step and be even better. Maybe he doesn't have that in him, and time will tell. I'm not sure. I think we've pretty well nailed him on the head and what he is as a player. Mm-hmm. I don't expect him ever to be a 30-goal guy, but I do expect him to be a good NHLer for a lot of years.
So do I. I think that's the thing is Nylander, it was the perfect storm for setting Kapanen's expectations a little too high last year because Nylander's sitting out, and people are pissed, and they want him to show up, and they can't believe that this guy isn't on the team. And then Kapanen goes out and he starts the year amazing. Like he's scoring goals. He's doing everything. he's having a breakout start to the year. And it's like, not only are people mad at Nylander, they're thrilled with Kapanen, and they're saying the whole, like, should he even get his spot back? You know, what if Nylander comes back? Should you keep Kapanen with Matthews? And it's like, to me, yeah, that's where it started to get into the conversation of, oh, maybe these two guys are closer than you think. And it's like, no. Nylander is a much better player than Kapanen. But yeah, Kapanen, like you said, he's a good guy who can probably drive some offense on your third line. And he's on a solid deal in an era where, yeah, man, people care about your contract and how it relates to your production probably more than ever than we've ever seen in hockey before. Go ahead.
Well, just William Nylander, just touching on that, he's an elite hockey player, and we see this year as compared to last year, his skating, but the difference between him and Kapanen when they're coming down the ice is a defender, when Nylander comes down, is fearful. Yeah. He really is. They're backing up and giving him space, and when he tight turns and sees the next layer of his offense coming, whether it be the third guy or the fourth or fifth defenseman, he's so good at finding those guys and pushing guys back. People aren't afraid of Kapanen making plays. They are afraid of his speed a little bit, but the hockey sense in the two and playmaking ability, it's not even in the same world.
Yeah, man. He's really, really talented. And it's why people continuously want more from him, right? It's why he leaves you wanting. Do you think the criticism of him in terms of, you know, not driving the net enough is fair?
I do. I think he, at times, I think when he's his best, he is driving the net. He is taking it wide. He's taking pucks to those, you know, dirty areas per se. When he is struggling, he is perimeter. He's on the outside and making hope plays. So I think when you look at the tape and when they review the tape, after every single game, as a line, as a team, I think he's still young but has that ability. But he has to recognize where he's successful is when he is getting into those dirty areas, because he can really push the pace there. He can cause a lot of concern for defenders. And when he does struggle, he's just on the outside. He's just playing perimeter and playing hope hockey, which isn't conducive to him maximizing his talent.